Hey, everyone. Welcome to Define the Fight. It is sunny outside. Life is good. Feeling the heat. And we're going to take it wherever we can. When we talk about defining the fight, there's so many different avenues and ways to look at it. But where it really starts is in the kitchen, at home, and with our children. So I'm really excited to have my really good friend, Angela Beloch. She is the author of Cooking in the Kitchen with Kaysen. It is a children's book series designed to help kids build healthy relationships with food through fun, curiosity, and creativity. Blending storytelling, nutrition education, and heart, Angela created Kaysen Koala to make conversations about nourishing our bodies approachable for her grandson and families. Her work is rooted in the belief that healthy habits start early at home and should always feel joyful, healthy, and fun. So, Angela, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Mariah. I am so excited to be here.
You know, I was like, what a great way to start a Monday. You and I go way back, but just your energy, how you carry yourself, and the fact that you're a wellness advocate, not only for adults, but for kids, and seeing how you're flourishing in different ways and providing educational tools to families is amazing. In the illustration, oh my God, it's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I was in the kitchen with my grandson in March of last year, and he was excited about being in the kitchen with me. And I thought, well, let's have him help me, right? So we let him do the things that he could do, maybe, you know, like breaking the banana in half. And, you know, obviously he was only 1.5, but I let him kind of get his hands a little bit messy. I created a children's book in 2013, and that book was illustrated by my neighbor. It was a cute little bedtime story. So I had, you know, created my legacy, my dream of being a, you know, a children's published author. But then again, when I was in the kitchen with Kaysen, his curiosity and the fact that we know that little people need solid, real food in order for their little motors to run. And the other factor is he's half Australian. My son-in-law is from Brisbane, Australia. I was in Australia last year for a couple of weeks, and I fell in love with the koalas. Who doesn't love koalas? Slept under the stars in Bimby Park in southern Australia, and it was just kind of a no-brainer because he looks like a sweet little koala. And that was kind of the theme of the, you know, going to be the character of the book. So we're calling the koala Kaysen.
I love that. And, you know, you have different tips in there also, not just about nutrition, but I saw the fact of, did you know that there's more kangaroos than there are people in Australia? I honestly didn't know that. But then again, I've never really looked or researched that. So I think it's great that you're incorporating your family in more ways than one. So you look at your son-in-law, his heritage, where he's from, but then also to your grandson. So I think it's a very fun story, but clearly there's a lot of heart that is put into your book as well.
Yeah, definitely. So it kind of stems back, Mariah, and you, I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I was raised on a farm in North Dakota. I split some time in between North Dakota and California. Very little I would go back out to California, experience the fresh fruits that we couldn't grow in North Dakota. But I did have a very large garden with my mom. And this was probably, you know, ages 3 till about 10. Okay. And I can taste it today going into the garden and pulling the carrots out of the dirt and wash, you know, just brushing the dirt off and eating them right out of the garden. Lettuce, tomatoes, what else did we have? Peas, squash, you know, you name it, watermelon. We had it all. So I, at a very young age, saw these foods being grown out of the ground. And that was fascinating to me. And I enjoyed fruits and vegetables. And then obviously being a 70s child, you know, the convenience foods came along. My mom started working. She brought home the TV dinners. I was a cereal kid sitting in front of the TV. But I always had kind of a passion for also exercise. My dad, who lived in California, he was a handball player, a nurse, and he was very in tune to nutrition. So he taught me a lot as well. And then when, you know, fast forward, I ate junk food in, you know, high school and college. But then when I got married and was pregnant, I thought, well, I'm eating for two now. I can't be eating a full pizza and I can't be drinking soda. And what was that? 1997 is when I stopped drinking soda pop altogether. Like, I just couldn't put this food into my body knowing that I was growing another human. So then once my first child was born, I couldn't think about, you know, no offense to anyone who needs to nurture their babies with formula, but I was fortunate enough to be able to nurse all three of my children. And I just felt it very, you know, it wasn't easy, and it's not easy for a lot of women. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But I was fortunate to be able to nurse my kids. And then when it came to feeding them, I had a Happy Baby baby food grinder that, you know, you push the food in. There was really no there was no Instagram, no Facebook, no tips on how to, you know, make baby food. So I just would make it fresh for them. And I just felt like I needed to nourish their little bodies with real food.
When you bring up nursing too, it's a great fact too, is like, clearly, you know, with my children, my boys, one was, you know, full term and one wasn't. And I can tell the difference from Antonio was nursed as long as I could possibly nurse him until basically the well went dry. And then with Jace, him being a preemie, you know, he was born at 31 weeks, 5 days. So at that point, there's going to be a struggle with milk coming in. And I remember literally, you know, trying to get a drop or two on a spoon at that point, bringing in little drops into the NICU, trying to make sure that I'm providing nourishment where I can. But then it got to the point where it just wasn't happening, right? So I had to allow the shift to formula. But when I look at my children's immune systems, both of them are very strong. Both of them are great. But I do notice that my youngest, who wasn't breastfed, is more susceptible, even though, and you know, and the preemie probably adds into it a little bit, but he's more susceptible to like having a quick fever. But he's got a fast turnaround time in regards to, if he does get sick, it's usually 24 hours and then he's done. So there is something to be said about breast milk, about what we feed ourselves and how that comes into play for our infants. So, I mean, food matters. Food matters.
Absolutely. And, you know, God did give us the ability to, you know, produce milk, but not every woman in certain situations can do that. So that's obviously why we have the formulas, and there's lots of great formulas out there, right? But what it comes down to is both breast milk and formula is a balance of that PFC, the proteins, fats, and carbs. So when I was, well, Mariah, when we were, I think we've known each other for like 20 years, but
we have.
And it started, I think, with exercise, right? And then we got into the nutrition and we were involved in a nutritional company together. And that's really when I started learning more about the importance of the balanced diet, the PFC. So admittedly, when I was feeding my kids, when, you know, my kids are now 27, almost 25 and 23, I didn't know about PFC, but I did know about real food, right? Like, non-packaged foods.
Well, we knew about real food, right? We knew about real food, but we heard the term macronutrients and it just wasn't interpreted into the PFC. But, you know, Angela, we're going to go into a quick break, but when we come back, yeah, I want to circle directly into the PFC so people have a full understanding of what that looks like and how it's incorporated in your book. So we'll be back here shortly on Define the Fight. Hey, when we look at defining the fight, let's talk about nutrition. Because how you fuel is how you're going to feel. And we're here with Angela Beloach, and she's created a children's book. And I guess this is more than one. And what I love about the fact of the writing is it takes part in so many different ways in nutrition, and we met many, many years ago, and you were diving into PFC. And what I want people to understand is when we're talking about PFC, we're not talking about KFC, so please do not go through the parking lot, and I really hope they're not a sponsor of the radio show. So, Angela, let's talk about what PFC is and then breaking that down.
Absolutely. So, as you know, maybe a decade ago now, we were introduced to a concept by a very incredible man named Mark McDonald, who is a nutritionist, and he really introduced myself to PFC, proteins, fats, and carbs. And basically what that is, those are macronutrients. Our micronutrients are more like our antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals that are found in the foods that we eat. But the building blocks are that protein, which is that fixes your muscles. Obviously, that's beef, eggs, fish, poultry, legumes, peanuts, peanut butter, lentils, etc. Those are your building blocks that help your muscles grow. Also, there's like yogurt and milk as well, and proteins. And then you have your carbs, which I think everyone knows about carbs. I think we lack the intake of more fruits and vegetables in our diets, but also bread, rice, pasta, anything that's really not a protein or a fat is typically a carb. We think about carbs as a lot of sugar, based, foods that have a lot of sugar in them. Also, there's fats, which are meant to protect us, protect our brains, protect our organs, and they kind of keep us warm. So those are found, fats are found in avocado, oils, nuts, and also in some of the proteins and beefs and eggs that we eat as well, and milk. So the combination of the PFC, and I'm not an expert, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a health professional, but I'm smart enough to know that when you have a synergistic blend of proteins, fats, and carbs, your body uses that as fuel. So it's kind of going back to when we were talking about breast milk and formula. A baby eats every 3 to 4 hours a balance of PFC, the proteins, fats, and carbs, and that's what's found in breast milk and formula. So what happens to a baby when they don't eat, when they don't get their bottle after 3 hours? They cry because they're hungry. Their internal system has run out of energy, ran out of fuel, and it needs to be refueled. And then you feed the baby, they're satiated, they're happy. It is like how we eat. And not everybody is created equal. There's different diets, different dietary needs for individuals. Not everybody can have all foods, right? So I just want to be clear about that. Seek medical counsel if you have allergies or anything related to foods. But when you eat that balance of proteins, which is what we call the proteins, you want to have a palm of protein. And then for fats, you want to have a thumb of fat, and carbs, a fist of fat. When you eat that combination, it synergistically balances out your blood sugar. So your blood sugar remains between 80 and 120. And when you spike your blood sugar over that 120, that's when you're consuming a lot of carbs, your blood sugar could spike. Like if you tested your blood levels on a test strip, consistently doing that over time is really going to wreak havoc on your body, your pancreas, and how it produces insulin. So that's why it's really important when you're having carbs that you also have a protein. I always, my brother was like, well, what if I want to have a glass of beer? Well, then have some chicken wings, because those chicken wings are going to have the fat and the protein, and your beer is going to have the carbs. So it's not that you have to, that you have to eliminate carbs and things that you love. You just need to eat it in the right balance.
Well, I think when you're talking about alcohol too, it's slowing down that absorption rate. And then what you're looking at is, the 3 ounces of meat prior to going out to consume, right? And when you're talking about the scale of 80 to 120, when you think of that range, it's like, okay, I'm running on all cylinders right now. Mental clarity, everything is like you're in the zone is the best way to explain it, where it's, you're clicking, man. You're just flowing with it. But when your blood sugar drops, that's when you get more hangry, tired, lethargic, and that's where usually people will go and grab a quick fix, right? They're grabbing something quick, easy, convenient if you haven't been doing any planning. And then when you're talking about spiking your blood sugar, then, you know, that's where we're at the position where we start storing fat, right? Start storing weight. So it becomes this roller coaster ride of like, okay, well, I'm doing this right. And then again, it's like, if you are noticing swings in your mood, in your energy, and your productivity throughout the day, really start looking at how am I putting my foods together? And, you know, when we look at carbs, carbs are not the same. Carbs are carbs, yes. But at the same point, which carbs are you putting into your system? And, you know, it's not about removing carbs completely. And I think that's sometimes where people are like, well, I'm going to just go all out without having any carbohydrates. Now, I've done different food diets, so on and so forth. And I do believe in carnivore, and I have done carnivore, right? So again, it all comes down to what are you looking for in regards to end results from health, from sports specific. It all needs to be dialed in around what are your optimal goals. And I think far too often we get fixated on the facts of measuring who we are, our identity, and our success rate based on a scale versus what is our energy. How am I producing throughout the day? Am I able to run around and play with my kids? And I love the fact that in, you know, cooking in the kitchen with Kaysen, it's great because your illustrations are so colorful. They're vibrant. And you have a chart in here too, where you have lists of healthy options underneath the protein category, underneath the fats, underneath the carbohydrates. But you also have in there the serving sizes for 12 and under, which is going to fluctuate depending on where your child is at when they start going through hormonal, and they may need more during different time frames. But then too, for women and for men, because it is different, it's not a one size fits all. And that's why there's multiple diets, is because the first one didn't work. And I love the fact too of RFK Jr. now flipping and creating that new food pyramid where we're really looking at and identifying what are healthy foods. And that's what you bring to the table in your book, Angela, are, hey, this is real food. And we can circle back to that, you know, when we come out of a break, because we recognize that when it comes to foods, that the quality of our food is not the same as what it used to be. And it's making sure that what you see in the grocery store isn't necessarily chemical free. And I think that's a hard part. And a hard pill to swallow, pun intended, because, you know, the quality just isn't the same. But before we dive into that, I want to go into a quick break. And when we come back, Angela, let's talk about how our food sources have really shifted and what people can do at home to be proactive in regards to growing their own, or where they can find healthy produce. So we'll be back here shortly on Define the Fight. Hey, we are back on Define the Fight with Angela Beloch, talking about nutrition and the importance of making sure that it's in the kitchen, not the gas station, not the local pizza place, whatever that looks like. And don't get me wrong, every once in a while, it happens, right? We're human. But let's look at consistency and commitment to ourselves and to our family. Angela, we were speaking about nutrition and the flipping of the food pyramid and what that looks like. Now, you and I, we go way back, not only from the PFC perspective, but you were the first person that actually introduced me to hydroponics. You had a beautiful, beautiful hydroponic garden that was growing. And then the taste, you know, you can't compare between that and growing your own food in your garden. So I want to dive into talking about hydroponics, how you got started, and then the different benefits that people can see and how easy it is to do from home.
Absolutely. And when we, you know, it's just so funny that the program is called Define the Fight, because it is a fight, right? Like, it's a fight for reaching for a quick food, or, you know, growing your own. It's like, well, it's all time consuming to grow your own food and to prep your meals and such, but you're so worth the investment. So with hydroponics, in 2019, I lived in a townhouse. I didn't have the ability to grow a garden, but I was like, what can I do to grow my own lettuce, to grow my own herbs? And so I bought a tower garden, and it allows me to grow about 20 plants at a time. And within that, you can grow anything that you'd like, as far as anything that grows within the ground, right? So I even experimented with radishes, and the root would continue to be watered, and then the radish would grow outside. So it wasn't even in the soil. I haven't tried some different fruits, but it's super easy. It's a 20-gallon tank. I travel a lot, and I can leave for two and a half, three weeks at a time without worrying about my garden. So it essentially, Mariah, it's a water basin. You plant the seeds in something called rock wool, and you water them first and get the germination going until they sprout about 2 inches. Then you put them in the tower garden, and the water is filtered up through a pump, and it's timed. There's a timer for grow lights, and there's a timer for the water. And the water just trickles on these roots, and it's basically aeroponics. It's kind of a root grow. It's aeroponics and hydroponics, because it's both air and water. And then, unfortunately, there's one ingredient within the nutrients that's not organic, because it's only found in the soil. But that is in my liquid nutrients that I test the water's pH and the water's add nutrients when I add water, which is depending upon the grow cycle. Obviously, in the beginning, when they're just first sprouting, they don't take as much water, but as they continue to grow, the root system is enormous, and everything about these plants are edible. So I particularly like to grow a lot of, let's see what I've done, cilantro, celery, parsley, lots of different lettuce, broccoli, spinach, kale. Oh goodness. What else have I done? Peppers. We do a lot of jalapeno peppers, serrano peppers, bell peppers. And then when you have vegetables that flower, you need to self-pollinate. So basically it's taking a little Q-tip, because this is an indoor, obviously it's in my basement. And then you take you germinate from one of the flowers petals to the other. So just the pollen that's inside of those flowers. And then I also have a fan that I run on, because that can help spread the pollen to the other flowers. So it's incredible. I'll eat just right off. I mean, you've seen it. I'll just eat lettuce and greens right off of the tower.
And it's great, because I ended up getting a tower, and my significant other, he has a tower too. So now we have two.
Nice.
And the great thing is, like you said, you don't have to weed it. You know, that's one thing, is like, I don't want to have to go out and weed a garden. Well, then just have a garden inside. What are some of the different nutrients, though? You had said that the liquid food, right? So what are some of the different things that you use for the nutrients to go within the water?
So I have, essentially with the tower garden, there's two different sets of minerals. And unfortunately, I can't tell you exactly. I think it's nitrogen. I think it's the nitrogen that is non-organic, but I'd have to look that up. That's how easy it is. Like, I don't need to know about all of the different, I don't have to be a chemist. It's just, they make it super simple. But what I will tell you, getting back to the nutrients in our foods, is that our soil, you know, coming from raised on a farm, you know, our soil has become less and less nutrient dense over years and years. So when I'm growing my own fruits and vegetables in my basement, I know what kind of nutrients are in there, and I know what nutrients are growing, you know, and are being, you know, that are inside of my plants and vegetables, right?
Yep. And, you know, when you look at, the damage of the soil, right? It's everywhere. It's everywhere, because you look at, you know, the toxins from the air, you look at what's being sprayed. It's crazy to think of how depleted and how dead, honestly, our soil is. And a lot of people don't interpret the fact that if the soil is dead or is really lacking nutrients, then whatever is grown in there is also lacking nutrients, right? So it's transferable. So if the soil's dead, so are the nutrients that the plant is uptaking, and then we're the ones that are consuming those plants. So when you're looking at your garden, it's making sure that you are putting in the chemical-free nutrients that are needed. And I know that we put in like mycelium, fulvic, and thankfully my partner, he has a company that does that, and it's all organic matter. So our garden flourishes where it had, you know, we literally broke up the sod and we found that there was some concrete, old foundations from old buildings on the farm that were there. I'm like, oh my goodness. But you can see, you know, so if you think of Avatar, like the tree of life and how it's all intertwined and everything is connected, the, you know, like kind of like the root system. Our root system in our garden is so amazing. It spreads out and all of the plants are communicating with one another. And then two, it's like, so we don't till. And if there is a till, it's literally just very, very surface level. So it's not breaking up the nutrients that we're building or the network that is down in our garden. And the taste, the look, we started to plant our garden last year. I want to say it was the first or the second week of June, which is late. And we had an unbelievable harvest. Everything flourished because we're not just relying on water. We're also supplementing in the nutrients that our plants need on top of clearly having bees. So we have the pollination system and creating this ecosystem. So if you're an individual that doesn't necessarily have a farm, make sure that you have a raised garden bed. Or, you know, you can have pots, you can have things that are growing in your basement. So outside of hydroponic, you see a lot of people too that are growing potatoes in like 5 gallon buckets too. There's just a lot of different options that are out there. And I feel we can get into that self-defeating mode where, well, this is the way it has to be, when the reality is, no, there's a lot of options out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, no, you don't have to be a gardener, obviously, to eat healthy and to eat real food, but you can participate in community gardens. You can go to the farmer's market, pick up your fruits and vegetables from local growers. You can also obviously shop in the outer aisles of the grocery store. When I took my kids to Orlando to go to Orlando for the amusement parks, and we went to the amusement parks and the only thing they wanted to do was go back to the lazy river. And when we went for fast food, we go to the grocery store. We go to the grocery store, we go to the deli, and we go to the, you know, the fruits and vegetable aisle. So when we talk about fast food, there are convenience stores, gas stations that do have good, healthy foods, like, you know, your yogurt, beef jerky. A lot of them have hummus and vegetables, and they have a healthy section. Hard-boiled eggs is another great alternative. So you don't necessarily, obviously, have to be a gardener to eat good food, but you can. One of the biggest mistakes that I made was not getting the tower garden earlier because the kids were so fascinated with how food actually grows. I don't know if you remember Jamie Oliver, Mariah, from a while back. He used to have some shows with sharing food and educating kids on food. And he had a group of kids. They had no idea that chicken nuggets came from a live chicken.
But do they? No idea. I mean, but do they, right? Depending on which chicken nuggets you're talking.
Exactly. But just the fact that kids don't necessarily understand where the food comes from besides the grocery store. So I think educating kids in the classrooms, you know, and obviously at home, and that's kind of the purpose of the book, is because when the child learns and is excited, then the parent is learning also. And that's why, you know, I have the guidelines for adults as well, because these are some big concepts for kids, but a lot of us just haven't been educated. And in today's society, it's just more and more packaged foods, package. And some of packaged food is good if it's freeze-dried sweet potatoes or beets, but you know, it takes a while for us to adjust as well. You know, January is that month where everybody wants to get healthy, lose weight, and then it peters off. You know, being in the wellness industry for decades, that it wanes. So it needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be a choice and a decision. And I also just want to share this. My son-in-law and my daughter just bought an exercise bike. And I asked him, I said, well, what was your motivation? And he said, it wasn't my motivation, Angela. It was a realization. So we want to live longer, but you know what? We need sleep, we need exercise, we need good nutrition, and we need good mental health. And those are the four things that I think we really need to focus on. And it's not that hard to do, because I tell everybody, if I can do it, you can do it. And, you know, start small, start, eliminate soda pop, drink more water, add, you know, crush your berries and oranges into your water or your cucumber, you know, find something else that you can drink. In fact, when we go out at night, like if my husband and I go out and we don't drink, we kind of feel boring asking for a glass of water with lemon, but I don't want anything else. I don't want sugary drink. I don't want a caloric dense drink.
And I think that's important to understand that it's lifestyle. There's so many different factors when it comes to measuring what does health look like. And far too often it's, oh, it's just nutrition. No, there's so much more that is added into the mix, right? It's the physical fitness. It is, the nutrition. It is your sleep hygiene. It's your hydration. But it's also your spiritual health and well-being. And I think a lot of people miss that boat as well, because if you don't really have that internal driver or that light, it's really hard to move forward and take action on those other areas in your life. We're going to go into a quick break, but when we come back, Angela, I want to talk about where is your goals moving forward? Because I know that this isn't the end all. It's just the beginning. So we'll be back here shortly on Define the Fight. Hey, welcome back to Define the Fight. Speaking of children's health and well-being, this is what it's all about, is starting in the home, but then also how can we incorporate this into other areas? And, you know, Angela, you spoke about the fact of kids learning in school. I wanted to share too, clearly you're fully aware of my nonprofit Define the Fight and our Cultivate to Grow program. When we talk about kids growing their own food, it's amazing. I'm going to circle back to Northern Cass, where we piloted last spring, and it was great to see 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. So it's not just young elementary kids, it's that junior high level coming in, going through the germination process. We taught them the importance also of being entrepreneurs. So they learned the cost of the soil, the breakdown, the marketing leading into a plant sale, but then too, the difference of using chemicals and not, and we're really enhancing that program. So I'm really excited that you made that note, because these kids get so excited when they're introduced to something new. And when they learn how it impacts their mood, their energy, and how they perform throughout the day because of what they put into their mouths, it's very empowering. But it's important for us to educate. And when we look too at 2020, I believe it was 158 million children that were labeled as obese. And then by 2030, we're looking at it significantly jumping to 254 million. When we're looking at about 100 million children increasing in obesity, that's a problem. That's not even a problem. Excuse me. It's a crisis. And we have a crisis on our hands right now. And it's very important that we are proactive versus reactive on taking care of our children's health. Now, with writing Cooking in the Kitchen with Kaysen, you know, what is food? A, how can individuals get your book? But then also, two, what is your next book? Because I'm assuming that with your passion as a wellness advocate, as a grandmother, as a mother, that this is only the seed of what you plan on growing.
You got it, Mariah. And I am so grateful that you are doing this in the community with young adolescents. My sweet spot really is the little people, the little children, just because that's the foundation. And our babies, our toddlers, our young children are such a valuable commodity and are so precious. So, you know, that when they curl up and sit on your lap and they want you to read them a book, they're absorbing that information that you're reading. So hence, I just wanted to start with the young child, the toddlers, and then again, the young mothers are getting that education as well. I'd like for Kaysen to be kind of that trusted kid-friendly mascot, because who doesn't love a good koala? And, you know, bringing families back into the kitchen and making it a family time and not necessarily a chore. Kids kind of like to listen to their favorite little mascots. So maybe if they reference, well, this is what Kaysen Koala does, you know, that will bring some resonance and some fun into the kitchen. I'm looking at the next book is, and progress, which is cooking in the kitchen with casein, what is a whisk? And that is really the foundation of, well, what are the utensils that we use in the kitchen? What's, you know, obviously safety with knives and electronics in the kitchen. So kind of giving them that next foundation, measuring cups, measuring spoons. And then the third and the fourth book are really going to be about those simple recipes, if you will, or meal planning. So I'm looking at expanding. Obviously, I want to give myself a lot of credit for creating this book with AI. The illustrations were created with AI, but it's not as easy as you think. I had some help from some family, and we were able to get, you know, casein looking like an actual koala instead of a monkey, but AI can definitely hallucinate. But with AI, I mean, seriously, cooking in the kitchen, it was a K, like cooking, and we could not get that. My son helped me. We could not get that to be a C. So I also am helping individuals who want to create their own legacy, because really the first book was a legacy that I had a desire to publish a book. Well, now this is my second book that I've self-published, and it's something that anyone could do. So if you have a story, you know, with your grandparents, your family, or just silly bedtime stories, it's really not very hard to create your own children's book. So I love to give my books as gifts, and I love that, you know, I'm really creating that legacy, but now focusing more on that foundation of education through cute little characters.
I love that. And you know what? The thing that comes to me, Angela, is when are you going to create a casein stuffed animal? I'm serious. Wow. That's the first thing that, like, you know, when you're talking, like, I can see that, because then, you know, granted, you don't really want stuffed animals in the kitchen. But at the same point, when you're looking at that age group, they like to bring that with them. So just planting a seed for that. Yes. Where that's a potential to go with a book. But for your book, where do individuals go to purchase?
They can go to caseinkoala.com, or they can purchase it on Amazon. And Barnes & Noble has approved the book. I just need to hit go, and then probably within a week or two, people can purchase the book at Barnes & Noble. But for now, www.caseinkoala.com.
And casein is with a K, so just so that everybody knows. But Angela, I want to thank you so much for sharing your passion, understanding the need, but most importantly for being you and coming on the show today. So thank you so much for joining me on Define the Fight.
Thank you, Mariah.
All right. Well,
I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you. So until next week, each and every day is an opportunity for you to rise. So define the fight so that you can win the fight. Have a great day.